Welcome to Quest for Gold. We are 154 days away from the opening ceremonies at the Olympic Games in Paris. I'm Ryan Burrow. We've got a lot to cover this week in Olympic news, so let's get right at it. The U.S. Women's National Soccer Team has announced Alex Morgan will replace Mia Fischel on the U.S. Women's National roster for the 2024 CONCACAF Women's Gold Cup after Fischel tore her ACL earlier this week. It's a tough break for the 22-year-old forward. ACL injuries take about 6 months to heal, likely putting her out of contention for an Olympic roster spot. Meanwhile, Alex Morgan will wear Fischel's number 7 as per tournament rules for replacing an injured player. The Gymnastics Winter Cup takes place this weekend in Louisville. Among the female participants, 2012 and 2020 all-around gold medalists Gabby Douglas and Suni Lee. On the men's side, 2020 Olympian Yul Muldaur and most of the 2024 hopefuls like Paul Judah and Shane Wiskus. Noah Lyles continues to rack up victories on the track during an Olympic year. He won his first 60-meter hurdle at the National Indoor Championship in New Mexico this week. South Africa has withdrawn both its men's and women's water polo teams from Paris 2024. Despite both teams qualifying, the nation doesn't believe the teams would be legitimate medal contenders. The news is frustrating to the athletes, though, many of whom found out through the media rather than through team officials. The Philippine Olympic Committee tried to lobby the IOC to get boxer Manny Pacquiao to compete to qualify for the Olympics. There's a 40-year-old age limit for Olympic boxers. Pacquiao is now 45. The IOC denied that request despite the Philippines saying that the nation would be underrepresented at the Games. This week, employees of the Eiffel Tower went on strike to protest the way the monument is managed. The strike prevented visitors from being able to enter the grounds of the historic site. Last week, we were in Indianapolis talking men's basketball at NBA All-Star Weekend. This week, we focus on the women's side. Let's go back to Saturday night. Sabrina Ionescu challenged Steph Curry to a three-point contest during the All-Star event Saturday night. Steph won, but Sabrina definitely made a name for herself. She was asked about being compared to Billie Jean King in the Battle of the Sexes.
You know, obviously that is probably the top, and I think being able to do something so many years later and just kind of that same conversation speaks a lot about where we're at in women's sports right now and how we're continuing to just push for more and not backing down. It would have been really easy for me to say that I was scared of the moment and not want to come out there and embarrass myself or be afraid of failure. And I didn't do that because I understand who I am and the belief in myself, but also what it's going to show so many young girls that are watching, that they could go out there and they can beat a boy on the playground, or they can play for a boys team, or they can go out there and be the best on their girls team. And I think having that in the back of my mind, always understanding that that's what I'm playing for, overrides any fear that I have of not coming out here and winning.
Ionescu hit 7 straight shots, but Steph did beat Sabrina 29-26 in what may very well be the first of several matchups between the two.
This was so authentic for the both of us to be able to be here, finally not in a closed gym, shooting in front of everyone watching and understanding what it means for ourselves, but also the bigger picture and knowing that this is where I wanted to be to be able to do this. And so obviously very thankful for everyone who's helped make this kind of dream that we both had a possibility, and knowing that it's changed the landscape of how people are going to view what we're doing. And we're very excited to see kind of what the future has to hold with more people having the opportunity to do stuff like this.
I think the media has just changed the conversation on, for little boys and girls who are watching us play, like, it doesn't matter what gym you show up to, don't discount, who's to your left or to your right. If they can shoot, they can shoot, and you can compete and you can have fun. Hopefully we can be, models of what that looks like on the biggest stage. Long term, we'll see. It's like I said, it's something that will continue. Me personally, I know she's, an ambassador for basketball, for women's basketball. She's just getting started on her career, so I'll let her speak to that. But it's, you continue to find, awesome ways to further the conversation on how amazing the women's game is. Getting the eyeballs on it, and continue to create energy around it. And this was a small step in that direction.
Well, we've been talking about finding different ways to change this up next year. And I think he has a partner in mind that's going to join him. And so I'm open to any partner that could help me win and take that belt that he has up front and center away from him.
I did have a chance to grab Sabrina and ask her about her thoughts of representing Team USA in 5-on-5 this summer in Paris.
Yeah, you know, it being an Olympic year, it's exciting to know what's coming ahead. And obviously being a part of the qualifying team, I was in Belgium about 4 or 5 days ago, you know, competing and understanding what's to come. And obviously I'm going to do everything that I can to be on that Olympic team. That's something that I've dreamed of since I was a little girl, is being able to wear USA across my chest and represent my country. And so I'm going to continue to just trust in the process and be the best player that I can be. And whatever happens, happens.
Also in Indianapolis last weekend was Chelsea Gray, a Tokyo Olympic gold medalist who hopes for a second shot at the podium. She was brought into the 18-person mini camp earlier this month, but did not make the trip out to Belgium for the FIBA tournament. During the 50th anniversary of USA basketball panel discussion, she was asked if Paris was one of the more appealing cities to play in.
I don't care where it's at. As long as I'm at the Olympics, I'm cool. I mean, I've seen pictures of like the opening ceremony. We were talking about that and just leading up to it. I don't know. Maybe it's a city of love. That's what they say. I don't know what it is, but I'm just, if I have the opportunity, I'm just excited for that.
So Tokyo, as hard as that was with all the pandemic restrictions, that didn't bug you? You were just like, I'm here.
I mean, I would have loved like my family to experience that, and friends, and I'm sure a lot my teammates would have as well. So it's kind of like a new experience for me because I experienced Tokyo and it was different than any other Olympics. No fans, the opening ceremony was a little bit different. So I'm lucky enough to be in Paris, you know, being able to experience that and share that with my family, since they've been on this journey with me my entire career, will be special.
And she talked a little about the pressure of playing for the country seeking its 8th consecutive gold medal. You don't want to be the first U.S. women's basketball team to lose in the Olympics.
We don't even bring that word up. You saying that, it's making me a little nervous up here. Man, I feel so blessed to be a part of something so much bigger than myself. Being around greats, learning from greats, able to travel the world and experience it in an international playing field and just wearing that across my chest. My path to playing basketball was a little bit different. I got hurt coming out of college and then just like ups and downs, up and down. So being able to compete at the Olympics, like it was that childhood dream of mine was, it was amazing. When I got that call, I still remember I cried and I was just like, okay, I got to get it together. But it's going to be exciting in Paris. If I'm lucky to be a part of that, like the legacy that I'm around and the legendary players that I play with and against, every time I put on that uniform, I do it with so much pride and so much. I'm so grateful that I'm able to do that and have the opportunity to.
And she says every team they face on that stage brings their best.
Man, we would make an astonishing play, and it would be crickets out there. And then, what was it, World Cup, we played against China, and the arena was packed, and they made a layup, and it didn't count, and the arena went crazy. And I was just like, did you guys see the three plays we just made? So we're going to get everybody's best shot. We love that. We feel that, and it comes with the territory, right? If you're like having so much success, you're always going to be the one that's being chased. And so I'd rather be that and wear a gold medal around my neck.
She also talked about the differences between the WNBA game and the international game.
Man, they don't really call fouls out there. I feel like I might be getting tackled, and then they're just like, it looks like a clean play to me. you know, the rule differences are a little bit different. Obviously, we don't do like goaltending as much on the women's side, but the men's side, they have that defensive 3 seconds. So there's like rules that you kind of have to get used to. Players can't call timeouts. The coaches have to call timeouts. So there's little like nuances like that, but I've been lucky enough in the women's game, a lot of our players have experienced overseas play, and so they're kind of used to the type of basketball, the terminology, the way the refs kind of ref the game. And so I think that also helps in our favor. Why we have so much success is our ability to play overseas and to get used to the terminology and used to everything and seeing that. So we're we're not seeing in the first time when we're competing internationally with USA across our chest. So that plays to our advantage a little bit as well.
Three additional four-team Olympic qualifying tournaments will take place concurrently in Brazil, China, and Hungary. The United States as reigning world champs and France as Olympic hosts have already qualified. The full U.S. women's basketball roster is expected to be announced in the summer. Well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Quest for Gold. We'll be talking with more Olympians and Olympic hopefuls in the coming weeks as we march closer and closer to the Summer Games in Paris. I'm Ryan Burrow. We'll see you next week.